What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, which has sold over 1 million copies. He's been writing about money and psychology for over 20 years. His podcast, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, features couples sharing real stories with real numbers from behind closed doors. You can also find him at www.iwillteachyoutoberich.com. His book is, again, the New York Times bestseller that taught a generation how to boost their income, save money, and live a rich life, is now in a revised second edition. He's a personal finance expert, has expanded his Modern Money classic for a new era with a practical 6-week program designed to help readers develop the skills and mindset necessary to manage their money effectively. This updated edition is packed with new insights and strategies for a changing financial landscape. Start your journey to a rich life today. Let's get him on. Hi.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm really excited to talk to you because I come from a very, I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I have such a scarcity mindset when it comes to money. And I don't know if sometimes that actually holds me back from making more money, if that makes sense.
I'm sure it does.
Okay.
We can talk about it. That's very insightful already, very perceptive.
Okay. Well, good. I grew up just a single mom, and she... You know, I had to quit my favorite sport because my parents got divorced and then we couldn't afford it. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, now that I have two kids, one on the way, I'm like, I have to make sure I don't spend anything and I have to do a million different things because I have to support them. And if I don't, then they have to quit baseball or, you know, soccer. And then I'm not, what am I going to do? And then where are they going to live? And then I just start to like panic where I think I'm almost overworking at times too, just because I'm throwing so many darts trying to go, okay, I need to make money. Yeah. And then I also am not enjoying things too. Like I bought myself my second designer bag like 2 years ago. I will not spend money on myself.
Yeah, we should definitely unless talk about this. Very common.
Then I will spend some money.
Wine or kids, right?
Right, kids. Like, yeah, my kids. Yeah, I'm oh, your soccer thing causes, like everything for my kids.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's go there.
It's super common. Yeah. We'll talk about it. It's good.
Your biggest teaching where, you know, I Will Teach You to Be Rich is your book and the second edition's out. What is the most common mistake that people make in the efforts to becoming rich?
Well, the most common thing people do is they just don't tackle their money at all.
In which sense?
They don't engage with their money. You know how many people will reach out to me and they'll go, I'm 40 years old. I have two kids. I feel so behind with money. I'm worried. And I go, okay, we can work with that. When was the last time you read a single book about money? And they're like, I don't read books about money. And I'm like, okay, well, that actually explains a lot. Most of us, we glean the way that we treat money just by absorbing it. It's what our mom and dad said when we were growing up. Usually things like, we can't afford that. Or, mm-hmm. We don't talk about money in our family. Money doesn't grow on trees. And then we take that and we see our friends going around and we go, how come they're in Bora Bora on a Tuesday and I'm not? So we never actually learned the basics of money. So that's the biggest mistake, is we're going through life agonizing over this thing that holds so much control over us. Mm-hmm. And we never actually learn the basic rules of it.
That's a really good point, because anytime my business manager calls me, I want to throw up. I'm just like, oh God, Kevin, why? I hate when you call, because he's always saying I got to pay someone, like my ex-husband child support, or I got to pay this, or I got to pay, you know, this person. And I'm like, he's my dwindling. Like every time he calls, I'm like, do you ever have good news for me? Like, no, you never. It's always like, I got to pay somebody, or I got to do this, or this person's trying to sue me, or I'm like, so I got to pay that lawyer or whatever.
Can I just ask you,
sure.
Do you see paying money as losing?
1,000,000%.
Uh-huh. You know, I don't see it like that.
How do you see it?
Think about when I go to a nice restaurant, or I love hotels. All right. I go to a nice hotel. It's pretty expensive. I'm paying for the food or the experience. Do you think I feel like I'm losing?
No, because you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah. Or what about, you know, I have people that work for me. They're very talented. I pay them very well. Am I losing when I pay them?
No, because they're helping invest in your company.
All right. So there's just, you and I could be paying the same amount to the same person, but we might see it totally differently. And that's really at the core of how we treat money. Most of us believe money is just about some numbers on a spreadsheet, some boring drudgery. I don't see it that way at all. I look at somebody, I say, wow, you see a spreadsheet. I see a trip to Disney World with your kids. I see a beautiful handbag that you love every time you pick it up. You know, I see the freedom to maybe play with your kids on a weekday afternoon. We can see it totally differently. And that's because money is not just about the numbers. It's also about how we feel, and it's about our psychology towards it.
Then why is it so? Because whenever I get my monthly statement, if it's not the certain number that I like, then I will be in the most depressed state. And then I'm just like, we're eating frozen taquitos for the rest of the week.
Let's just say for easy math, it's 100,000. If you see the number below that, you start to, how did you describe it? Spin?
Yeah, I just get really depressed. And then I'm just like, I bring things closer. Like, okay, we got to tighten up here. I can't spend here. And then I just start to feel like my throat's closing up. And
yeah. All right. I love the honesty. This is so common. It's so common. It's not just you. Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you come up with that number? And what does it mean to you?
I guess if that number was to be lower, it would mean that I'm not successful, that I failed.
Where'd that come from?
Is
it in the dictionary that under successful, anything less than 100,000 means you're not successful?
No.
Where did it come from, though?
Then I guess myself, or I guess people are right. I'm a failing this, or I'm no longer A-list this, or...
Yeah. I ask because a lot of times we all have a feeling about our money. And a lot of us believe if I just get $5,000 more, $50,000, $500,000, finally I can relax. Finally, I won't worry. Right? Any of those things ever? Have you ever said any of those things?
1,000,000%.
Yeah. And the truth is that the way you feel about money is highly uncorrelated to how much you have in the bank. I'll say it again, because I want everybody to make sure they get this. The way you feel about money is extremely uncorrelated to how much you have in the bank. So I've talked to couples on my podcast. They come on, they share all their financials, and on my Netflix show. And some of them have $13 million in net worth, and they are agonizing over the price of a mattress.
Oh my God. Okay? I would be like, I've made it. Like, I have.
No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I feel like I would be the least stress-free human in the world.
Oh, really? So are you telling me that at a certain number, yes, you'll stop worrying about money?
I think so.
Did you hear what I just said for the last 2 minutes?
I know.
If you don't feel good about money today, you're not going to feel good about it when you have double or triple the money. Here's why. In order to live a rich life, you got to do two things. Number one, you got to know your numbers cold. And I suspect that when you see this number on the page and you, you're paying out all this stuff, you're just looking at what's given to you, and you maybe don't have a holistic view of what's your net worth, how much is it going to compound to, how much you're going to have in 5 years, all that stuff. So you're just looking at these tiny little details. The second thing is that you've also got to work on your money psychology. We all do, which is, you know, some of us feel scarcity. Some of us are overspenders, but we rarely actually work on that at all. We just tell ourselves, if I make more money, I'll feel good. And I hate to tell people that just changing the numbers is not going to change your feeling.
So what do I do?
Well, let's take them each one by one. Let's start with the numbers. When you look at the numbers, you're seeing what? How much is in your checking account?
I see checking, touring account. I see my investment accounts. Those ones scare me all the time because I'm like, oh my God, I lost this much on that, which I know it's the long game with those, but it's still, but I always go to the total. And then that's where I call my business manager every month going, wait a minute, why did I not make any money that month? And he's like, well, no, he's like, you lost in the investments. And so that then, and I'm like, well, so then that just starts to spiral me too. But then if I, then this is how psycho I am. I then go back to 6 months or a year ago and go, okay, it has gone up. So I have to like, I have to see the comparison, like the previous and then where it's at.
Wait, I don't think you're psycho for doing that. I think you're really smart for doing that.
Okay, thanks.
That's smart. You're trending it out. You're seeing, you're taking a look at where you are today and you're saying, okay, that's interesting. That's a snapshot of today, but I really want to understand what's happened over the last year to understand what it looks like. I think that's really smart.
Okay. Well, because that helps me not freak out as much.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow. I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
Can I ask you a question about your investments and all that? Do you think it's possible to, for you to feel good about your money?
What do you mean?
Okay. I think you kind of just answered my question. Take me for example.
Okay.
Do you think that I'm freaking out about my money?
No, because this is your job. This is what you do. Like, you are the, like, you help people become rich. I think with my industry, in my life, it's like I look at it as the most unstable business ever.
Yeah.
And where it's, I feel like with you, it's like, oh, he could be building, I'm sure you've got courses and you've got your Netflix show and you've got books. And it's like, that's, people will always want to know how to be rich. People are and will continue to get bored of me. It's kind of like my mindset.
What? You're like, you're pretty big. I mean, come on. I did my homework. It's not like you're just starting out. People want to listen to you.
But I'm like, there'll be a day when I'm not going to be the, you know, number one on this movie. I'll be the old lady that's, you know, the grandmother of the, you know, so it's like, I have to be so smart right now because my window is like, you know, is closing in certain areas of my life. So I'm like, I always have to recreate and be like, okay, what's going to be like my generator of money? Because acting doesn't pay enough. This doesn't. So it's like, I just need it for what I have been accustomed to. Right. So I'm like, I have to find that thing. And it's hard when it's like, there's so many different pieces.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Do you have a sense for how much you need?
Yes. Here's where the wrench goes in. I bought at the wrong time.
You bought a house? Okay.
My house is done being built in September, but I sold my house at the wrong time and I bought at the wrong time. So that was a little bit of a hit. Interest rates, I know they're going to go back down, but when, you know, I got the call of how much I'm paying a month, it's like, I'm getting a minivan. Like, okay, where am I going to start cutting? You know, because I gotta cut. This is way more than I'm used to paying. So I think that's where I start to freak out a little bit. Mm. And then just the load that I carry. Like, I support my kids. I'm paying the child support. Like, it's a lot of, I was telling my fiance the other day, I'm like, I have so much pressure to succeed and to provide that I'm like, it can make me cry. Like, and at the time I was like, you know, I've always felt the pressure to financially provide and I'm fucking exhausted.
Yeah. I hate hearing that. I hate it because it sounds like money is not a source of joy at all. It sounds like it's a burden. It's an obligation. And worst of all, it's kind of just this murky cloud where you don't even know where's the light. Mm-hmm. It's just depressing.
Yeah.
Am I reading that right?
Pretty much.
All right. Well, should we just change that? Because this is depressing to me.
Okay, let's
do it. I don't want this. And
I want to say too, like, I'm so grateful for everything. Like, I know that I have a beautiful home and a beautiful life that I've created. But I also feel like I'm still the girl stuck in, you know, like I'm stealing toilet paper from a restaurant because I can't afford, or I'm seeing the red that I moved to Los Angeles, you know, trying to book a show. So I want to say I realize how grateful that I am compared to people that may not have that income. So that's where I struggle with the battle of that, because I don't want people to think I'm not grateful for what I have, because I'm very grateful. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I grew up with two immigrant parents. They came here from India, and we had a great childhood. They We had a pretty big family and they had to be frugal just because that's what they knew. And that's what we had to do. My dad worked, my mom was home with us. And I think the lessons we learned were really valuable in terms of, we don't need a lot of fancy stuff to have a happy family. Our vacations when we took them were quite modest. You know, we'd get in a minivan and drive down California, stay with our family. But I also think that as I went to college and became more successful with my business and all that stuff, I leaned on what I learned as a kid, but I also had to create some new routines and new ways of thinking about money. And I bet if we spent more time, for example, on my podcast with the couples that I bring on, we would dive more into, what do you remember about growing up with your parents? What kind of phrases did they say? How does it still affect you? I mean, we can hear a couple, like the word freaking out. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting word. I want to know more about that. But I also think you became so successful that there's probably some new layers for you to put on, almost like a new layer of a coat to put on, mm-hmm. which is just acknowledging, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this. I'm pretty successful. I actually can take on a bigger burden than I used to do when I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And I think that would just allow you to feel stronger, which is my belief is, I never tell people stop being emotional about money. Money is emotional. Mm-hmm. I'm emotional about it. We're all emotional about it. I would rather we stay emotional, but also learn how to read the numbers and talk about the basic rules of money. And then we work on feeling the way we want to feel. Sometimes we're going to feel bad. That's okay. But I would say most of the time, I want people to feel good about money. Like 90% of the time, I think we should feel good. Even if we have $75,000 of debt, we can still feel good because we have a plan in place and we know the exact month and year that debt's going to be paid off. Mm-hmm. If you were able to do that, what do you think? If you knew when you would have, let's say, 500,000 or a million or 10 million, whatever the number is for you, mm-hmm. if you knew that your kids would be able to have all the things they need taken care of, do you think your feelings might change?
Yeah. And that's what I told, I was talking to my acting manager. I was like, listen, because a lot of actors don't want to be on a procedural because it's not creative enough. And, you know, those shows run for 8, 10 years. And it's just the same thing. I go, that is my dream job, because I would be doing something that I love to do. And I know that I'm going to have a role for potentially 8 to 10 years, a paycheck that I know is going to come every single month. I think it's the not knowing is the part where I start to freak out. And it hasn't been a great year. And there have been more, losses than wins this year. And so I think when I have that burden to carry, it becomes stressful. And, you know, if I had something in my mind where I was like, okay, I know I'm going to make this, like mm-hmm. I would be able to breathe a little bit better.
I totally get it. The uncertainty is a killer. Mm-hmm. It's like in anything, uncertainty in a relationship, uncertainty with money or jobs. Let me provide a couple of, I think, helpful numbers might be useful to you.
Okay.
So first of all, I'm not a fan of budgets, and I certainly don't, I'm not going to get on here and tell people, you know, stop spending so much money on potatoes. Like, I don't care about that. It's a waste of time. And I would rather people ask $30,000 questions than $3 questions.
Although eggs are very expensive right now.
I don't care about the price of eggs. And really,
my fiance's like, Jana, you're so cheap. I'm like, no, we're getting chickens. These eggs are way too expensive. He's like, you can afford eggs. I'm like, I know, but I just like, I know.
Jana, listen, watch my mouth. Messed. Stop asking $3 questions, $30,000 questions. Okay. All right. So, all right. So, you know, a lot of us, we've been taught, it's been drilled into us. Don't buy coffee. Don't buy lattes, blah, blah, blah.
Mm. Yeah. You'll save this many dollars, $1,000 a year if you don't buy coffee.
In 900 years, you're living in a cave, you're a skeleton, and you'll have $1 million. I go, life sucks. So I believe in asking some 5 to 10 big questions. Okay. All right. And those are the ones, you get those right, you could buy all the coffee and cheesecake you want. So first off, just, we need to know 4 numbers when it comes to our own basic numbers, right? Okay. Almost nobody knows this. First off, fixed costs. I would recommend that your fixed costs be between 50 to 60% of your take home pay. Let me explain what I mean.
What is a fixed cost?
Fixed costs includes your rent or your mortgage, your utilities, your car payment, your groceries, your debt payment. anything that's fixed that you're paying every single month. Okay. Kids, school fees, mm-hmm. all that.
50 to 60% fixed cost.
Of your take home pay. That's of after tax.
Your
pay.
Take. I'm taking notes. Home pay. Okay.
Cool. All right. So that's 50 to 60%. I'm just going to tell you right now, people go wrong in two areas, and it is their house and their car. That's it. They spend too much on their house. They spend too much on their car. We could talk about that if you want to. Next up, your investments. Okay. 5 to 10% of take home. Of course, I want to see that number higher, but this is where the real wealth is created. Okay. You know how many people spend their entire lives tracking the price of turnips? I go, who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. Stop talking about this. You don't even need to track it at all. But you do need to make sure that you are hitting your 10 or 15% investments. That will create massive wealth. Okay. It's more important than any coffee decision you make cumulatively over your whole life. All right. Next up, your savings, mm-hmm. 5 to 10%. This is things like an emergency fund, saving for a down payment, saving for a new car, that kind of stuff. All right. Okay. And then finally, this is my favorite one, guilt-free spending, 20 to 35% of your take-home pay. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, look at that. It's a lot of money, right?
Why not save it? Why wouldn't you say save that?
Well, why don't you tell me? When was the last time you ate out?
Well, I'm pregnant and sick, but no, I mean, I DoorDashed some wings yesterday.
Thank you very much. Why don't you just make those wings at home? It's because we want to live a rich life today and a richer life tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were super disciplined, for example, and you go, hey, I want to retire at whatever age, early age, you might say, instead of 20%, I'm going to do 15% guilt-free. I'm going to take the extra 5% and invest it. Fine. I don't mind it. But you know, most people, they actually want to spend money on the things they love. I know you do. I do too. But it's all within a plan. Mm-hmm. And if you just do those four numbers, just those four, you never have to count the price of lattes. And actually, you will be accumulating serious wealth over the long term.
Okay. So the investment, though, I'm curious, the ones that I have, like one that's kind of aggressive, one that's just sitting there, that's going to be like a slow, what kind of investment? Like, do you agree with those kind of different portfolios, or is there one where you're like, no, go aggressive, go hard? Like,
yeah. Okay. So obviously this depends on a lot, but I'm going to tell you what I tell my family when they ask. So investing feels so confusing to people. Mm-hmm. All right. It is so overwhelming. There's all these terms nobody understands. What's the difference between Apple stock and a 401k? I'm like, those are two different animals, but let's work through it. When my family goes, where should I invest? Here's what I tell them. My favorite investment for the everyday person is something called a target date fund. And let me tell you what that means. It's one fund, just one. And the year in the fund, like Vanguard 2050 or Fidelity 2055, that's the year that you're going to retire. Mm. So let's pretend that I'm going to retire ballpark in 2050. Let's just say. Okay. I would go find the Vanguard or Fidelity or Schwab 2050 fund. They're all pretty good. You can check the fees and stuff. I cover this in chapter 6 and 7 of my book. And I'm not compensated by any of these companies. And you can go, you get one fund, mm-hmm. and you put as much money as you can into it. Now, why is it called a target date fund? Because as you're younger, it's pretty aggressive. You should be able to handle that aggressive investment allocation. As you get older, it becomes a little bit more conservative. Uh-huh. In other words, you don't want granny losing 45% of her investments in a recession.
Sure.
That's it. You don't have to rebalance it. You don't have to check it every day. In fact, you shouldn't even be checking your investments more than once every 3 to 6 months. And it's automatic. That's the key thing of this whole thing. You're not trying to save money every month. You're not trying to invest. It's totally automatic. Uh-huh. That is what I insist on.
Okay. And then 10 to 15% of the money that you make should go to investments.
I would love that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm gonna be like, Cece, my business manager on here. Okay.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question about Bitcoin? Are you not allowed to say that? Because I know some people aren't allowed to like talk about Bitcoin.
Who's going to not allow me to say anything? I run my own business.
Oh, there you go. So I have money in Bitcoin. Should I take it out because it's not doing anything, or should I keep it in?
First of all, how much do you have? Please tell me the answer.
Well, okay. So I have one Bitcoin, and at the time it was 30K to go in for one Bitcoin. So I have 30, but now it's down to like, I think 20 something. It was up to like 60 at one point, and then I should have taken it out, but I didn't because they're like, it's a long game, long game.
Who told you this, by the way?
My business manager.
Oh my God. Is your business manager going to listen to this?
I hope not.
Because I don't really have nice things to say about that. But okay.
Okay.
Let me put it
because I don't want to lose, because right now it's at like 23. So I'm like, I'd like to take it out because I don't want to lose 23 when I've already lost 7 or whatever.
You seem very sensible, but I talk to a lot of Bitcoin freaks on Twitter. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't like me because I actually understand investing. And here's my approach. I say, look, if you have a well-diversified portfolio, mm-hmm. okay, and you decide everything's diversified, I maxed out my accounts. You know what? I want to have a little fun. I want to take 5% of my money and I want to invest it in alternative investments like Bitcoin or my friend's bar in Brooklyn. I say, God bless you. Go sure. for it.
Okay.
The problem is that literally every single person I've talked to who invests in Bitcoin doesn't even know what diversification is.
Okay.
So if we looked at your portfolio, which I would love to do, I have a sneaking suspicion that it might not be diversified. That's just a guess. I don't know. I'm not going to question anybody else.
Okay.
If that's the case, I would, I mean, that's really up to you in terms of your goals. If it were me and I were sitting here with 20K in Bitcoin and a non-diversified portfolio, personally, I would take that money, I would sell it, and I would get my portfolio in order so it's well-diversified. That's what I would do. But it all depends on your goals and what, you know, what you decide to do.
Right.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow. I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by our local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
Can we like talk offline too? Because now I'm like, I want to send you everything. And I'm sure. Like, I just.
But it'd
like,
be better if we talk online. People want to know.
No, they don't. Well, they do, so they can hate on me. That's their favorite thing. Because they were like, I'll never forget when I got. So my lease of my Range Rover was up, and so in my mind, they're like, you can keep this. This is a perfect example of who I am. So, okay. In money wise, so my Range Rover lease was up. It was like,
how much was it?
It was a 3-year lease. Okay. It was just a sport, like whatever, 80. I have no idea. I like to lease cars. I'm not a buyer. Like I get sick of things. So I just, you know, I'm a lease. So would love your take on that, but leased it. And then the new cars weren't ready yet. And so they said it'd probably be like a couple years. So you can keep the car. And I was like, well, that means that you have a demand then. So you need my car back. So I'm like, would you like to buy my car back even though it's a lease? And they're like, yeah, we'll write you a check for this amount. So then in my mind, I go, perfect. I'm gonna give you back my lease and I'm actually going to get money, which has never happened before on a lease. But thank you for the check. Now I'm going to go get a less expensive car to save money for the next 2 years until my other car comes.
Okay, I'm with you so far. Okay. Interesting strategy. Here's my one question.
Okay.
What did you do with the difference?
The difference, I held onto it for a down payment for the next car.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Not bad. Okay. Not bad. That's better than most people be like, I went to Chipotle and spent it. I'm like, okay.
No. So I was going to use it as a down payment. So then what I did was I went and bought a Wrangler and everyone then was like, she's broke. She's losing her money. She had to sell her. I was like, no, I just wanted to save $800 a month on a car payment. So I went and got a Wrangler.
Do you listen to the people who accuse you of being broke? Does it affect you?
There's like, I'm not going to say negative comments don't affect me. Like, sure, it affects me. You know, I haven't, you know, some businesses didn't work out and it hurts. And I feel like a failure. So when people highlight it, sometimes it's like it only ignites like, oh, I am a failure. I know I'm not. I know people have to take chances in business and some things work and some things don't. Having said that, though, you know, sure, it can affect. But I know I'm like. And hey, a Wrangler is a great car. So I was like, I call my business manager. I'm like, I'm saving money. I'm so excited. Yeah. And he's like, you're my favorite client. And then
I love that.
But now I'm like, listen, with what I'm paying for my house, now I feel like I'm, you know, it's a lot more than my last house. And I'm starting to feel the stress and the pressure of that. So at this point, I'm like, what's wrong with a minivan? I don't care what I drive. It's a car. It gets me from A to B. I don't care. Like, my dream was a G-Wagon. I wanted one so bad. And when my ex and I were married, he was like, when we pay off his car, I can get my dream car. So I paid off his car. And then now I'm paying him child support. So my child support is my G-Wagon payment. So I'm like, well, there goes that. That's up in flames. But now I'm like, I would never spend that much money on a car anyways. Like, why would I do that? So now in my mind, I'm like, I don't care. And if people are going to talk crap about me driving a minivan or whatever it is, like, who cares?
Good. Two things I want to say. First off, I love when people like, they're like, oh, Ramit, why do you do that? That doesn't make any sense. And a car is the perfect example for me because I could afford any car. I happen to love my 17-year-old Honda Accord.
It's in
pristine condition. Of course, Indians, you know, we love Hondas and Toyotas. And it's just like, why would I get something? Of course, I could get something nice and new, but I hardly drive anywhere. But you contrast that because that's a part of my life that I don't really care about. Okay. Versus the parts I do care about. I love hotels. I love fitness. I love clothes. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things where I spend extravagantly on the things I love, but I cut costs mercilessly on the things I don't. Mm-hmm. And that's what I actually encourage everybody to do. So rather than what we normally do, which is like, we feel guilty about everything. And then we try to cut 5% back on Cheetos and 5% back on coffee and 5% back on rent. It's like, that sucks. Mm-hmm. Pick the things that you love. Mm-hmm. Go through some of my exercises in my book. Figure out how you can actually spend more on them. But you got to cut costs mercilessly on the things you don't.
Mm. So like for a car, I wouldn't care.
Exactly. And
yeah,
you should actually feel great about that. You're like, yeah, because I'm living my rich life with whatever else you're spending more on. Mm-hmm. Okay. My rich life is not my car. I just don't care.
Right.
Now, second thing I want to say is you took that money, the difference, you saved it for a down payment. Great. Can I just make one suggestion going forward?
Sure.
Which is, I would love it for everybody listening and for you to develop a really aggressive bias towards investing.
Okay.
So for me, if I have extra money that I don't need, or I don't need it for certainly 10 plus years, that's getting invested. And again, that's where the real wealth is created. And most of us, you know, we don't think about that. Investments are kind of this retirement thing that somebody else worries about, but that forces us to play small. Mm-hmm. If we're only taking money and transferring it from checking to savings, we're playing small. Mm-hmm. And I don't want us to play small. I want us to live a rich life, which is big.
So that's an interesting point that you say, because it's only been a couple years that I've truly started investing, because I was so afraid that like the money that I did make would go away, because you know markets fluctuate and they go up and down, and you know you hear people saying now that they're taking their money out and you know buy gold, or
don't listen to these crackpots. Okay. Buy gold. Come on. Next time you get someone telling you that, just send me the text or send me the, I'd be like, okay. I'm going to tell you 80 things wrong with this person. Listen, I've listened to enough lunatics, crackpots, talking about gold, talking about silver. There's a guy online. He's a very famous personal finance author. 1 year ago, he recommended, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. He recommended everybody buy tuna, literally tuna, like tuna fish, you know, kids eat tuna fish. That was his recommendation for an investment. I go, why would anyone listen to these crackpots? Okay. Investing is simple and boring. It's like watching paint dry. It's not like I'm sitting here logging, oh, it's so cool, my excitement. I'm like, get a dog. Okay. Watch a drama. Investments should not be exciting. You should not be checking them all the time. They should be extremely boring. That's real investing and that's real wealth creation.
Okay. So, for the people, because what's the percentage they say that living paycheck to paycheck is it over 50% is what they've said?
It's a lot.
Again, I had to get to a certain amount where I felt comfortable to invest. At what point, even again, so no matter how much you're making, you still think to invest the 10 to 15%?
I think that everyone can find $50 a month to invest with rare exceptions.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a great starting point. Cause even like my brother, like he's just like, well, I can't do this. I'm paid paycheck to paycheck. I'm like, I know, but like you got to start putting something in there so it can start building.
Here's why people find that difficult. First off, they usually try to invest at the end of the month. It's like, I don't try to brush my teeth. Mm-hmm. It's just a habit. I know how to do it every morning, every night. Investing is even easier. So I don't try to invest. The money comes directly out of my paycheck and gets automatically invested. I'm not even seeing it. And so many of us have gone 20 years telling ourselves, oh, I have no extra money. There's no way. The fact is, if you took $50 or $100 or $500 out of your paycheck, depending on what it is, you would never miss it. You would get completely used to not having it. And that money grows to numbers that are, for most people, very inconceivable. So making the decision to set up automatic investing is probably one of the top five most important decisions you can do in your entire life.
That is such a good point. I love that. That's hopefully people can hear that and take that. There was an app called Acorns that kind of took, do you like that one? I thought that was kind of interesting where it takes,
it's fine.
It rounds it up. At least there's something going. I don't think it's enough, but.
It's fine. I don't mind it. It's a fine app. I personally don't use that. I use another, you know, simple investment, which just happens automatically. But if that's what's going to get you into investing, I don't have a problem with it.
So then basically the main thing is to get rich, it's invest.
Well, it's designing your rich life, because we have to remember that in America, most of us, we just think like, what is rich? It's having a big house in the suburbs, a car, 2.5 kids, and then we go to Florida and die. It's like, I don't, that's not my rich life, but if that's yours, fantastic. I want people to get ultra specific about it. For example, one of my readers, he used my stuff. He and his wife retired in their mid-30s and they travel the country in an RV. Okay. I don't want to get anywhere near an RV, but I love that they have really dialed in their rich life. So that's the first thing is, you know, you use my journal, you get crystal clear, whether you're solo or with a partner, what is it that we're working towards? Do we want to travel 2 weeks a year, 2 months a year? Do we want our kids to go to this activity? It's worth getting specific. Then it's taking a look at your four key numbers and making sure that your numbers are actually matching up with your vision of a rich life. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, most of us, as we're listening and watching this, we can realize why money feels so overwhelming. Because we don't actually have a vision. We just feel like we're doing something wrong and we need to cut back everywhere. But there's no purpose to it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if there's no purpose, no vivid personal purpose, then if my friends text me to go hang out or go to Vegas or whatever it might be, of course, I'm going to be like, yeah. Because I don't have a bigger North Star. And that is what I want people to do. Design your rich life and then use your money to live it.
Okay, I like that too. All these little things, they're so good. One more thing on the house. What would be your advice for someone that is, if however much is in the bank or whatever, what should the cost of their house be? Like, what's the percentage of that?
Your total housing expense, everything.
From electric, everything.
Yep. Okay. Sprinklers.
Sprinklers. Those are really expensive, by the way, because I just got irrigation. I'm like, nope, we're seeding and strawing in my backyard. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Like, I'm like,
and keep in mind this, maintenance, such as a $18,000 roof repair that's going to happen 9 years from now. It's not even on your radar yet, but it's going to happen. You got to save for that. All of that should be approximately less than 28% of your gross income.
Wait, hold on a second. So let's
now, as you're calculating, let me say something to everyone listening. Yeah, everybody's freaking out right now. You're going to freak out as you calculate that. Okay, look at that face. That's what I thought. All right. Hold on. Don't tell me the number yet, but I want to give you one piece of comforting advice. In high cost of living areas like LA, New York, San Francisco, that number is almost impossible to hit, especially for young people.
Yeah.
I don't mind stretching it a little bit, okay? For example, if somebody came to me, they go, Ramit, I have no debt. I stretched it to 32, maybe even 34, maybe. But I have to tell you that the higher it goes, the less money you have for everything else. And that is why people freak out about the price of chips. It has nothing to do with the price of chips. It's all because they spend too much on their house or car.
Okay, tell us where all of our listeners can come, just follow everything you're doing and everything.
Okay, best thing is to start with my podcast. It's called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And this is where I bring couples on. Some of them have $800,000 of debt. They're not sure if they can afford to have kids. Some of them are about to get divorced because he's too cheap. They've been married 21 years and it turns out their net worth is over $10 million. You can actually listen to me talk to them and go through their financials. My book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, and my website and Netflix show, it's out there. Search it out. I'd love to have you in my community.
You're amazing. I'm DMing you in like 10 minutes.
Awesome. Okay. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, friend. See ya.
All right.
All right. Bye. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.